Chapter 36. Vincius Deligia. The slave Phlegon, by whom I send this letter, is a Christian. Hence he will be one of those to receive freedom from thy hands, my dearest. He is an old servant of our house, so I can write to thee with full confidence, and without fear, that the letter will fall into other hands than thine. One right from Laurentum, where we have halted because of heat. Otho owned here a lordly villa, which on the time he presented to Poppaea, and she, though divorced from him, saw fit to retain the magnificent present. When I think of the women who surround MC now and of thee, it seems to me that from the stones hurled by Deucalion there must have risen people of various kinds, altogether unlike one another, and that thou art of those born of crystal. I admire and love thee from my whole soul, and wish to speak only of thee. Hence I am forced to constrain myself to write of our journey, of that which happens to me, and of news of the court. Well, Caesar was the guest of Poppaea, who prepared for him secretly a magnificent reception. Sight invited only a few of his favorites, but Petronius and I were among them. After dinner we sailed in golden boats over the sea, which was as calm as if it had been sleeping, and as blue as thy eyes, O Divine One. We ourselves rowed, for evidently it flattered the Augusta, that men of consular dignity, or their sons, were rowing for her. Caesar, sitting at the rudder in a purple toga, sang a hymn in honor of the sea. This hymn he had composed the night before, and W.F.T.H. Diodorus had arranged music to feed. In other boats he was accompanied by slaves from India who knew how to play on seashells, while round about appeared numerous dolphins, as if really enticed from Amphitrite's depths by music. D.V.S.T. Who know what I was doing? I was thinking of THEE1 and yearning. I wanted to gather in that sea, that calm, and that music, and give the whole to thee. Dost thou wish that we should live in some place at the seashore far from Rome, my Augusta? I have land in Sicily, on which there is an almond forest which has rose-colored blossoms in spring, and this forest goes down so near the sea that the tips of the branches almost touch the water. There I will love thee, and magnify Paul's teaching, for I know now that it will not be opposed to love and happiness. Dost thou wish? But before I hear thy answer I will refer thee further, of what happened on the boat. Soon the shore was far behind. We saw a sail before us in the distance, and all at once a dispute rose, as to whether it was a common fishing boat, or a great ship from Ostia. I was the first to discover what it was, and then the Augusta said that for my eyes evidently nothing was hidden, and, dropping the veil over her face on a sudden, she inquired if I could recognize her thus. Petronius answered immediately that it was not possible to see even the sun behind a cloud. But she said, as if in jest, that love alone could blind such a piercing glance as mine, and, naming various women of the court, she fell to inquiring and guessing which one I loved. I answered calmly, but at last she mentioned thy name. Speaking of thee, she uncovered her face again, and looked at me with evil and inquiring eyes. I feel real gratitude to Petronius, who turned the boat at that moment, through which general attention was taken from me. For had I heard hostile or sneering words touching thee, I should not have been able to hide my anger, and should have had to struggle with the wish to break the head of that wicked, malicious woman with my oar. Thou rememberest the incident at the pond of Agrippa out which one told thee at the house of Linus on the eve of my departure. Petronius is alarmed on my account, and today again he implored me not to offend the Augusta's vanity. But Petronius does not understand me, and does not realize that, apart from thee, I know no pleasure or beauty or love, and that for Poppaea I feel only disgust and contempt. Thou hast changed my soul greatly, so greatly that I should not wish now to return to my former life. But have no fear that harm may reach me here. Poppaea does not love me, for she cannot love anyone, and her desires arise only from anger at Cusor, who is under her influence yet, and who is even capable of loving her yet. Still, he does not spare her, and does not hide from her his transgressions and shamelessness. I will tell thee, besides, something which should pacify thee. Peter told me in parting not to fear Caesar, since a hair would not fall from my head, and I believe him. Some voice in my soul says that every word of his must be accomplished, that since he blessed our love, neither Caesar, nor all the powers of Hades, nor predestination itself, could take thee from me, O Lygia. When I think of this, I am as happy as if I were in heaven, while such alone is calm and happy. But what I say of heaven and predestination may offend thee, a Christian. Christ has not washed me yet, but my heart is like an empty chalice, which Paul of Tarsus is to fill with the sweet doctrine professed by thee, the sweeter for me that feet is thine. Thou, divine one, count even this as a merit to me, that I have emptied it of the liquid with which I had filled it before, and that I do not withdraw it, but hold it forth as a thirsty man standing at a pure spring. Let me find favor in thy eyes. Enantium, my days and nights will pass in listening to Paul, who acquired such influence among my people on the first day, that they surround him continually, seeing in him, not only a wonder worker, but a being almost supernatural. Yesterday I saw gladness on his face, and when I asked what he was doing, he answered, I am sowing. Patronius knows that he is among my people, and wishes to see him, as does Seneca also, who heard of him from Gallo. But the stars are growing pale, O Lygia, and Lucifer of the morning is bright with growing force. Soon the dawn will make the sea ruddy, all is sleeping round about, but I am thinking of thee and loving thee. Be greeted together with the morning dawn, sponsor me. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.